Well, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. We began to study through the book of Galatians last Wednesday night. One of the things about studying or reading, meditating in the book of Galatians is you're confronted with what you understand about the gospel and what you believe the gospel is. And will you not compromise what the gospel has to say? Paul even had to rebuke Peter, because to make people happy, he compromised what the gospel said. And Paul rebuked him publicly in front of the other brothers and sisters. But if it says this in Luke 2, verse 10, when the angels are announcing to the shepherds about the birth of Christ, it said, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy which shall be for all the people." I've always appreciated that verse because it's such a big verse. The word gospel, as you know, literally means good news. And so he says, "I bring you gospel of a great joy that is for all the people." And the reason I like that verse is because if you really understand the gospel, if you really understand how good the good news is, it should result in great joy in your life. And that should transcend everything else that's going on around you in this fallen world. The scripture says that we're in Christ to know a joy that's unspeakable, full of glory. That's how good the good news is. And just let your imagination run in the natural. What would be some good news in the natural that would cause you to have great joy that's sustainable the rest of your life? Would it be somebody coming and telling you you want $1 billion? Would it be to discover that Olivia could walk? I mean, what would it be? Somebody would be healed of something? But this is more massive than any of that. It transcends temperaments or circumstances or moods. The good news is so big, so great, so wonderful, that it produces great joy for all the people, regardless of your past, and regardless of your personality type, and regardless of the situation that you might find yourself in. So if I can make it simple, what Paul tries to say in the book of Galatians is the gospel is simply this. Because of the complete, finished work of Christ, we get to participate in the life that Jesus lives and the favor that he lives under. Now, let yourself run with that. Because Christians are always trying to posture themselves to walk in more favor. But Jesus already postured you to experience the favor he lives under because of what he did at the cross. So because of the cross, our participation or our union in the life that Jesus lives and the favor that he lives under. That's what you and I wake up every day. That's the great reality that we wake up to. And this is one of the expressions of that favor that we live under because we're in Christ. The favor that he lives under. This is in Galatians chapter 4. Talking about the purpose of the law and what Jesus has come to accomplish. It says in verse 1 of Galatians 4, Now I say, as long as the heir is a child, he does not differ at all from a slave, because he is an owner of everything. But he is under guardians and managers until the date set by the father. So also we, while we were children, were held in bondage under the elemental things of the world, performance, to achieve so that you can receive. But when the fullness of time came, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, in order that he might redeem those who are under the burden of performance to earn favor, that we might receive, not achieve, the adoption of sons. You all know that means that's not just your child. It means they have this big party, and it's made clear that everything that he has is now yours, and it's for you to use. You get the inheritance. You get to experience the inheritance and spend the inheritance. It's all yours now. Your place in sonship. That's got nothing to do with male or female for Christians. The co-heirs of Christ. And because you are sons, now listen to this aspect of favor. The gospel of grace is, because of the cross, we get to participate in the life that Jesus lives and the favor that he lives under. Now, listen to this aspect of the favor he lives under. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. He doesn't just say that God sent forth his Spirit into your heart so that you're able to say, Papa, to God the Father. No, he said it's the Spirit of his Son that's in you crying out, Papa. His relationship with the Father is your relationship with the Father. Now hear that. Because of the cross, we participate in the life that he lives, Jesus, and the favor that he lives under. And one of the major aspects of that favor is that because you are sons, God sent forth the Spirit of his Son in your heart, crying, Abba, Father. It's the relationship, your union with Jesus, it's his relationship in you that's crying out, Dada, Abba, Father. Now the ramifications of that are unbelievable. Now you understand why there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ. Now you can understand, like, how much favoritism does Jesus have with his Father? Because it's the Spirit of his Son that's crying out, Abba, Father. It's not just you, and the devil can come along and say, well, you don't deserve this, and you didn't earn that, and look what you did. No, I'm not counting on my performance. I can expect blessing because it's the Spirit of Jesus that's crying out my sonship with the Father. That's stunning to me. What warm, fuzzy, gooey, awesome, massive, passionate, fierce, endless, relentless emotions does the Father have towards his Son, Jesus? They're all yours. When you cry, Abba, Father, that's the relationship you're saying that you have. And nothing you can do can change that. But because of that, it changes everything that you do. That's the impact of grace. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.